Glad to see everyone here back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The passage for our lesson this evening will be coming from verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul writing to Timothy here says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Friends, we have contained here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the reason for us having the Bible, the reason for us having God's Word. I want us to study this passage together tonight and look at it a little more closely. And I want us to realize, hopefully by the time that we are done tonight, the importance of God's Word. How important is God's Word to you and I as Christians? How important is God's Word to the world? How important is God's Word to mankind? We see in these two verses, number one, the production of God's Word. Number two, the profit of God's Word. And number three, the purposes of God's Word. Number one this evening, the production of God's Word. We see there all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now we know that the word inspiration, I believe that most of us know, as we've talked about it numerous times in Bible class and in other places, as well as from the pulpit here. Inspiration literally means God breathed. God breathed. Friends, by saying that the Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, we are saying that they are from God Himself. These are not the words of man. This book is not the work of man. Yes, a man actually had the pen in his hand that wrote it. A man actually penned the words upon the paper. But friends, these are the words of God, not man. Every word contained therein is God's. Now, turn with me to 2 Peter 1. Keep a finger there. We're coming back to 2 Timothy 3. But 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. Notice what Peter says concerning the Scriptures. Peter writes, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, verse 20, you see there the word interpretation concerning the Scriptures. The interpretation there means, the word interpretation literally means explanation or determination. So it's not up to any individual. This was, in other words, these words that we are given did not come from man, and he explains that in the very next verse, doesn't he? These were not their words, but rather they spoke as they were borne along, as they were carried along, as they were moved, the King James Version says, of the Holy Spirit. Literally, to be born or carried along. You want to see this idea in action? Turn with me to John chapter 21. John 21, and notice with me verse 18. Here's the idea of this word. John 21 and verse 18. Now he's speaking to Peter here. Matter of fact, he's foretelling Peter's death. We read there in verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Notice there the word "carry" and "where they would not." Peter was not going to be able to carry himself. He was going to be borne along. He was going to be carried along to a place he did not necessarily want to go. That's the idea there of being moved by the Holy Spirit. They did not speak of themselves. And so we know concerning God's Word that it was produced, it was God breathed every word given by the inspiration of God.
What profit is there in the Word of God? Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Let's notice the profit here that we find in God's Word. It's going to be profitable for us to know God's Word, to be familiar with God's Word, for it to be a part of us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 again. Notice how it's profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice the end of verse 16. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. First of all, it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine literally meaning instruction or learning or teaching. That which is practiced or put into action, the information taught. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, after Peter had preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and they had gone forward, and the days following thereafter, Acts 2 and verse 42 says of the disciples, those that had obeyed the gospel at the end of Peter and the other apostles' sermon there, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in their teaching, in their instruction. And it was something that they did daily. It was something that was steadfast in their lives. Friends, let that be a lesson to us. If we're going to look at God's Word and it be profitable for doctrine, it's not something that we do on Sundays. It's not something that we come to hear about on Sundays, or maybe we come on Wednesday night and sit in a Bible class. It's not just something that we do passively. If it's going to be profitable for doctrine, we are to continue steadfastly therein. It's to be something that is a part of us daily. It's profitable for doctrine. We see it as well in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, where we're talking about Titus 2 in our Bible class in an auditorium this moring. And it says there, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound there literally, as we've talked about, being healthy. Speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, sound teaching. Again, it should be a part of us, who we are. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy there, to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. Continue in them. Friends, the doctrine is to be a part of us, that instruction, that learning, that teaching that we find in the Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine. Number two, it's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for reproof. Also meaning to reprove or rebuke. It means to convict, to test, to expose, to prove again. The only occurrences of this form in the New Testament is here. Here, conviction of sinners, punishment, refutation of error, or reproof. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and begin reading with me there in verse 16. John 3, beginning in verse 16. Of course, the first verse here we're very familiar with. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And oftentimes, you know, we stop there, don't we? But we need to continue reading. Verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There's our word. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What does turning or flipping a light switch in a dark room do? It rebukes the darkness, doesn't it? It sends it away. That's the idea. Jesus being the light of the world. Look with me at Acts chapter 2. Let's go back to Acts 2. Read with me verses 22 to 24. And then we'll notice verses 36 and 37. In Acts chapter 2, 22 through 24. Peter speaking, ye men of Israel, hear these words.
Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now let's drop down to verses 36 and 37 in the same chapter. Peter continues to speak, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Friends, what had Peter just done with God's word? He had reproved them, rebuked them, and they were pricked in their heart. Friends, what should the Word of God do with us? Should we not be pricked in the heart when we read the story of Jesus and why He died upon the cross? Should we not be pricked in the heart when we look into the perfect law of liberty as James describes the gospel of Jesus Christ and our life does not stand up to what God has said? Friends, the Word of God is profitable for reproof. It can set us back on the right path. It ought to set us back on the right path if we will allow it to do so. Number three, the Word of God is profitable for correction. For correction. Correction meaning restoration, improvement of life and character. Literally, make straight again. Make straight again. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, and notice with me verses 24 through 28. Acts 18, beginning there in verse 24. And we know from the writings of Paul that Apollos was a great speaker. That he was a man that was able to bring the gospel effectively. But here in Acts chapter 18, while Apollos, to his knowledge, was teaching the truth, he wasn't teaching the whole truth. And we see here that he has to be set straight. All right, look with me beginning there in verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Here we find Aquila and Priscilla setting or making straight again Apollos. Now Apollos at this time didn't know better, did he? But he still needed to be corrected. He still needed to be made straight again. That's the idea. Friends, again, just as God's Word is to rebuke us, as it is to reprove us, it's there to correct us as well. We may have something amiss that maybe we don't even realize. We need someone like Aquila and Priscilla to take us aside with the Scriptures of God and show us the error of our ways so that we can be corrected, so that we can be made straight again and get back on the straight and narrow. God's Word is profitable for correction. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes there to the Galatians. He says there that they that are spiritual, or if any man goes astray, they that are spiritual are to restore. There's the idea of correct. To restore such an one. God's Word is profitable for correction. Number four. The Word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. The Word instruction means tutorage or training, discipline, chastisement, or nurture for correct living. The word righteousness means justification or right living. Now, friends, righteousness is not necessarily synonymous with being religious.
Right? We read of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Now, he was a religious man, but he wasn't practicing the right religion. He wasn't practicing religion as it had come since the death and resurrection of Christ. But he is spoken of as a righteous man. So the Word of God is profitable for instruction then in righteousness. Isn't that what Peter did in Acts chapter 10? Peter was sent to Cornelius. Cornelius heard the Word of God, and they were baptized, he and his household, straightway. God's Word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. What about Apollos, again, in Acts chapter 18? Again, God's Word was used to instruct him more perfectly. Notice there that Aquila and Priscilla, let's look at this, Acts 18 and verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. There we see instruction in righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul is speaking there to the fathers. They were to bring them up concerning their children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up there, we are to instruct them. Instruct them in righteousness. God's Word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Friends, examining just those two things, God's Word being inspired, God breathed, and God's Word being profitable, how important is God's Word to us as Christians and to the world, to mankind? But that's not all. As we see there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. What is the purpose, or what are the purposes of God's Word? In verse 17, we read that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. The word perfect there is from the Greek artios, meaning complete. Complete. So that the man of God may be complete. That is, wanting nothing. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The end of Romans 15:4. Talks about the hope that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 tells us that the Bible contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, friends, we don't need some man's creed. We don't need some man's opinion. We have everything we need contained within the pages of God's Word for everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Everything pertaining to eternal life can be found right here. Everything pertaining unto being as godlike as possible can be found right here. We need nothing else. We see the purpose or the purposes of God's Word. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 65. John 6, beginning in verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Friends, the words uttered by Peter there ought to be the words that we live by. Thou, God, Jesus Christ, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go? There's to no one else that we can turn to find God's Word. It's found here. Given to us by God Himself. Friends, if we're going to realize how important God's Word is, if we're going to know God's law for mankind and the church for which Christ died,
We need to go to the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. These things write unto thee, Paul says, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Friends, if we're going to know God's law for mankind and the church for which Christ died, let's go to the Bible. If we're going to rebuke false teaching and false teachers, let's go to the Bible, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If we're going to rebuke false teaching and false teachers, go to the Bible. If we're going to correct the sinner from the error of his way, as we've read in Acts 18 and verse 28, go to the Bible. If we're going to live righteously before God and with mankind, friends, go to the Bible. James 2, 21 through 26. It's found in God's Word. How important is God's Word? Friends, spiritually speaking, it's the difference between life and death. James speaks of the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Friend, is the Word a part of you? That's what engrafted means. It becomes a part of you. Is the Word of God a part of you? If it's not, then God's Word isn't important enough to you. As we talked about this morning, God needs to be the central part of our lives. And to do that, we need His Word. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we see without a shadow of a doubt the importance of God's Word to mankind. It was indeed given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And friends, therein, in that passage, we see the purposes of God's Word, that you and I, as Christians, may be perfect, may be complete, wanting nothing, thoroughly furnished, given everything that we need unto all good works. Friends, how important is the Word of God to you? Are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Christ? Why not now? Why not tonight? Why not put Christ on in baptism, coming in contact with His blood, so that blood can wash your sins away? Friend, are you here having been baptized at some point in your past? Where are you today? Is God's Word important to you? Will you allow it to correct your life and put you back on the straight and narrow? If that's the case, friends, we're here to help. Do you need to repent? Do you need to come home? Friends, if you have a need, whether to be baptized, whether to repent of sin, or friends, if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.